Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, Kingdom People. In the light of the commission we have been given by God, the Apostle Paul calls us to remember who we are, people saved by grace and made new in Christ for a purpose. We are invited to live lives that reflect Him, walking in love, unity, and obedience in all we do. To watch any of our previous messages or learn more about what is happening at Valley Brook, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc. Enjoy.
Well, good morning, Valley Brook. Happy Mother's Day, if you didn't get to hear that on the way in. We are so grateful for all of our moms, all of you that's here that put so much effort and time and consideration into our kids and into our own lives. So we just want to thank you guys so, so very much for what you do. Half the moms, though, are gone and they're over in the other room, so I might have to come back to that in a minute and say that again. So I might interrupt myself in a second to be like, oh, hey, you know, you're back. So in a few weeks, we are going to be rolling out our strategy as a church for the 2026-27 year to advance our work for the kingdom of heaven in our region. This is happening at our annual meeting on the 19th. We would want to invite all of you guys to come and participate in that, whether you're a member of our church or whether you come to our church and want to learn more about how to get plugged in. We want to invite you all to participate. It's going to be a hybrid meeting, and so if you have kids, don't worry. You can log in from online and be able to participate and watch. So we want to invite you all to be there because we want you guys to know where we're going, because you guys are the hands and feet of the ministry. You are the church. So we hope that every single one of us knows what we are hoping to do this year. And so as we're moving towards those goals, and we're going to talk about those in a few weeks, before we get to what we do and what we're going to try to accomplish this year, we want to take a moment to pause, to slow down and reflect, and ask the question, who are we, before we look at what we do? Ask the question, who we are, before looking at what we do, because who we are informs how we live. That what we do is important, but who we are informs it. The who of who we are dictates everything that comes out of it. In our culture right now, we ask the question here in America, we ask, like one of the first things we ask when we meet new people is, hey, what do you do for work? What do you do? And that makes sense because, you know, we want to ask, hey, what do you spend 40 hours a week doing? But oftentimes in our culture, we find that we define ourselves typically by what we do first. People will start to say, I am a doctor, or I am a pastor, I am a therapist, a school teacher, a mother, a father, a sports player, etc. We define ourselves typically first in this culture based on what we do. But who we are is behind all of that. Who we are comes first. We oftentimes see this when people end up leaving their work, when they either get hurt and can't play sports anymore, when they hurt their vocal cords and can't sing, or when they leave their job and they retire, and then they are left with asking the question, well, who am I now that I don't do these things? Who am I without my job? Who am I if my kids have grown up and they're out of the house? So before we go a little bit further, we want to just ask and have you consider for a moment the question, who are you behind your job? Or who are you behind your relationship status? Because there's going to be a time in your life when that question is brought forth. There's going to be a time in your life when you're going to have to ask it. It's best then to try to ask it now instead of happening when it just is forced upon you. Because who you are empowers the what that you do. Who you are empowers the what. It brings the heart into it. It brings why it matters into it. So Pastor Clark spoke last week about who God says that we as a church are. He reminded us that a huge part of our story, our identity, is that from birth, every single one of us has been enslaved to a nature that works against life that God desired for us. Part of our identity is that we all, every single person here, regardless of our class, of our status, our intelligence, our sex, our ethnicity, share the same condition. At the root of it is that we all tend to believe that we know what is best for our lives. We think that we know what is good for ourselves. Human beings naturally chase after what we think will satisfy us, what we think will fulfill us and lead to the good life. But when everybody is defining good for themselves, our desires inevitably collide with other people's, what they think. And we all become people trying to determine life on our own terms. When we do this, we clash. And God tells us that this way of living life always, always, always leads to death. Always leads to death. And not just physical death, but a kind of living that is empty, a kind of living that is fractured, and far less abundant life than the life that He created for us. If you read in the scriptures, God speaks about this and calls this kind of living death because it's not even worth calling it life, the quality of it, the nature of it. He doesn't even want to call it life because that would be misleading to what He believed life would be for us. He doesn't even want to call it that. It harms us. It harms others. That kind of life pulls us further from the goodness of God. The Bible calls this sin. This thing that is pulling us away from the life God desired for us. Sin is humanity choosing its own definition of life rather than trusting the one who created life itself. We reach for what looks good in the moment, but again and again it leaves us empty and causes harm. But God, it's the best statement ever, but God, means there's hope. But God, in His infinite love for us, did not leave us there. Even knowing our rebellion, knowing the harm we would cause, He refused to abandon us in that state. In His mercy, He did not hold the weight of our sin against us. Instead, He chose forgiveness. When we chase the things that lead to death, the idols in our life of money, of power, of pleasure, or honor, or reputation, God made a way to restore us. Through Jesus, He opened the door for us to come home. And that changes who we are. Our identity, through God's forgiveness and mercy, changes completely. Our identity is transformed. Yes, we are still sinners. But now we are sinners who are deeply deeply loved, fully forgiven, and set free. This means that we no longer have to live as people trying to define good on our own terms. We are now free to follow God's wisdom, to let Him teach us and shape us, and to allow us to lead into the life that will satisfy each and every one of us. As we follow Him, our desires begin to change. We begin to want what He wants. We begin to live the kind of life that He always intended for humans to live. This means that if we are sinners who have been set free, if you, if me, if all of us are sinners who have been set free. Your identity is now that you are a liberated people. We are a liberated people. We have been set free. That is who we are at our core. For Paul reminds us in his letter to the church in Ephesus, he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast." Our liberation does not come from our own power. Meaning it's not something we did for ourselves. It wasn't like we did good things enough to be out of that nature. We didn't succeed enough to a point to get ourselves out of there. We didn't just bro-mode it all the way out. God did it for us. We cannot boast or claim that we are better than other people because God liberated us. Instead, we have been liberated by the power and forgiveness of the one true creator, God. And this is where so many people misunderstand the gospel. Hone in here with me if you haven't up till this point, because so many people miss this, because Christianity is not God recruiting better behaved people. It is not recruiting better behaved people. Good people do not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Liberated people do. Good people do not experience the life of God. Forgiven people do. The goal is not to be good. The goal is to live free. Just sit with that for a second. The goal is not to be good. Good people do not inherit the kingdom. Liberated people from sin do. This is why it is so important for us to remember who we are, first and foremost. Because the Apostle Paul reminds us in his letter to the church that in light of who we are, by the gift of God's wonderful grace, we are to walk in a manner worthy of that calling. In light of God saving us and liberating us from the power of sin, what are we supposed to do? We are to walk in a manner worthy of that liberation. Walk and live as if we were free, because you are. Guys, we as a church, as Valley Brook specifically, of this group of 300 plus people in the room and online, we who earnestly follow King Jesus with our lives, you are a liberated people. You are a people that lived in sin at one point in your life, that lived under the shackles and weight of that nature that every single one of us has, and you have been set free from it. You are not under the bondage and power of sin anymore. You have been set free from the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through his sacrifice, you are no longer enslaved. Do you know that? Do you wake up every morning and think that? Wake up and say, "I am a free person." You have been forgiven. So you don't have to live to try to just be a good person anymore. This, "I have to just be the best I can be. I have to just use the wisdoms that I've learned to try to be a good person and hopefully make it." You don't have to do that anymore. That's not the point anymore. You are no longer shackled to the urges of your former way of life anymore. You are to live by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, empowered and bold in your freedom. We live as followers of the King, not by our own inclinations, our own wisdoms or opinions of situations, but we allow the peace and wisdom of Jesus Christ to determine and to guide our decisions. In a way that we say that we no longer live ourselves, but we allow Christ to live in us. The Apostle Paul says this to the church in Galatia. He says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. That old nature is gone. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. When we live this way, the Spirit guides us to live in a way that cuts through the darkness of the world. A light that shines, the whole world sees it. It is not just people who know a bunch of scripture trying to be good people. That's just the rest of the world. Trying to learn something and then just being good with it. Trying our own. Instead, we are being guided by the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit. The rest of the world is trying to be good by their own standards, by the way we used to live before we were, so we do not condemn. That was the way we used to be. Free people do not condemn those still enslaved. We do not look at them and think we're better because we were free. We didn't do it ourselves. They need to be liberated, just as we did. The thing that marks us different is that when we decide to allow Christ to dictate our actions, our inclinations, and our hearts, our lives radiate with the light of Christ. Do we still sin as followers of the King? Yes, we do. Pastor Louis Giglio of Passion City Church said it this way. I love the image that he used. He said that God has won the war against sin and death in your life. The power of sin and death is dead. But sometimes we still trip over the fallen bodies of the enemy. Sometimes we may stumble and fall and even cut ourselves on the weapons that they used to use to oppress us. But those dead bodies are just waiting to be buried. And one day they will be fully. And we will no longer be able to stumble over them. And the day when it finally comes to fruition is the day that Jesus Christ returns. All of the powers of sin in our life will be buried forever, never to be able to harm us again. How do we live liberated lives? Think about that for a second. If you were free, how would you live? If you no longer were shackled to this nature, how would you live your life? So in a few weeks, we're going to be talking about some of the specifics about what our church is going to be doing, the kind of work we're going to try to do in this time, some of the missions and visions that we have, that we hope to do as a community of liberated people, the way that we hope to live. But what is the manner of our living? Because if we do not walk in a manner worthy of this calling to be liberated co-workers with God, to share that light with the nation, if we do not know the manner of how we're supposed to live, then we may not accomplish what we set out to do. How do we walk in a manner worthy of our faith? Listen to the advice of the Apostle Paul. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through the psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with all gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. How do we live free lives? We've been shackled for so long. I remember there is a story of a pastor who went to Russia to speak to an atheist convention in Russia. And he shared and defended the faith. And the president of this convention walked him out at the end and said, "Thank you for coming here, Pastor. I believe the answers that you've given today are true, but it is really hard to change after 60 years of believing a lie." Some of us are still learning how to live free lives because we've lived shackled for so long. How do we live free lives? We do it by steeping our hearts into the peace and wisdom of Christ, allowing them to renew our minds to think as Jesus does. The more time you spend with Jesus, knowing him, learning from him, the more you begin to think and act and even look like him. Do you know that Jesus was the freest person to ever live? The perfect picture of what a free life looks like. Totally free from sin. Totally confident in the face of worldly powers that even wanted to put him to death. Because he was fully connected to God. And he fully knew him intimately and passionately, that his heart never turned to another way of doing things. Never turned to another wisdom. And even to the point where when his body's fight or flight kicked in, he still owned it. He was not even enslaved to his own body's response to threat. That is what it looks like to live a fully free life. That is open to all of us. That way of living has been offered up to all of us. Valley Brook, if we want to be able to accomplish our goals for this next year, we want to make sure that our foundations are set on Yahweh and Yahweh alone. As God's chosen people, which you are, holy and dearly loved that we all are, in light of our liberation from sin and our calling to serve hand in hand with God to bring the nations back to him, we are called to allow him to guide our thoughts, to guide our actions, to clothe ourselves with compassion and forgiveness, with humility and gentleness and patience, even over our feelings of self-preservation. We are to not hold grudges, but to forgive others, just as we, as liberated people, got here because we were forgiven. We offer the same forgiveness we have been given. That is how free people live. We are to be patient and bear with one another, knowing that they too are still tripping over the bodies of the sin in their life, that they are still waiting to be buried. We are patient with people, and we forgive. And we place love as our first and foremost virtue, as love leads to life and perfect unity in all things. Allow God's wisdom to radiate through you, and you will be a light for the entire world. They will see something in you that they have never seen before because they are looking at a free person. In light of who we are by the gift of God's grace, let us walk in a manner worthy of that calling. If we remember who we are, then we remember what our way of life is. And if we as a church can remember what the way of our life is, we will be successful in what we have been called here to do. Where we hope to go, we will be successful in these goals if we unite on the way that we are to live as liberated people from God and God alone. Church, this is what we need to remember. Before God ever called us to do anything for the kingdom, he first declared who we are in his kingdom. We are not people striving to become good enough. We are people who have been set free. Do you know that? Liberated people live differently. They forgive because they've been forgiven. They show compassion because they've received compassion. That they walk in peace because Christ has made peace for them. I want to invite the worship team to come up. This week, do not try to overhaul your life with trying to be a good person. Do not try to just stack good things on and on and on and on. Start with that one practice of freedom. Start with a practice of freedom. If you want a way to do that, read through Colossians 3, the verses that we just read that Paul shared. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Read through this week. And each morning, or each evening, or right when you clock into work, ask yourself this question: because I am free in Christ, how will I live free today? How will I live free today? Because I am free in Christ, how will I live? In light of who we are, by the gift of God's grace, Valley Brook, walk in a manner worthy of that faith. Good people do not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Liberated people do. Live as you're liberated. Maybe that means choosing patience when you'd normally react. Maybe that means forgiving someone that you've held a grudge towards. Maybe it means choosing gratitude when you'd normally feel anxiety. Start with one, because the kingdom is not built by people trying harder. It is built by liberating people learning to live as they've been set free. Church, remember who you are and go live like it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have freed us from the power of sin. There's no greater gift. You are so wonderful that you've done that. It is nothing that we have done. We cannot boast to people. But we have been freed by your mercy and love. Lord, guide our hearts. Remind us that we are free. Show us how to live as you lived, so that we may not live shackled to the old way we used to be. That we may not waste that liberation. Lord, the world is enslaved to sin. May we as liberated people shine your light of freedom out to the world so that they may no longer live trapped. Lord, guide us. Live through us. Change the way we live. May it be you who live in us. Help us to be more like you. Lord, if we do this, we know that we as a church will be successful in what we have been called here to do, to serve alongside you as free people. Thank you, God. Guide us and teach us. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you for joining us at Valley Brook as we engage in this series. To learn more about the life of our church and how you can get involved, visit www.valleybrook.cc. If you're interested in contributing financially to Valleybrook and to our ministry, you can do so at valleybrook.cc/give. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message blesses you and encourages you to love God, love people, and change the world.